stand as you're able as we join our opening hymn.
So sweet to trust in Jesus. In the historic confession of the Christian Church. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
be seated. Holy Father, as we reflect upon your glory, we ask with the psalmist, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants you speak to silence the enemy and the avenger. When we look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars that you've established, who are we that you are mindful of us, mortal that you care for us? Yet you have made us a little lower than the angels and crowned us with glory and honor. You have given us dominion over the works of your hand. You have put all things beneath our feet, all sheep and oxen, and also beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O God, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We continue our prayer, Lord, as we've been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As you are able, would you stand and join us in the first two verses of Lord, You Have Come to the Lake Shore? Would you stand? The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven open and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice say, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. Then Peter began to speak to them. "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Will you join me in prayer? Well, God, as we now move into a different aspect of worship where we want to engage the scripture lesson, what we pray, God, is that in this process of speaking and listening, that with the addition of your Holy Spirit, the gospel goes forth in a way that is like a seed that's buried down into the depths of our souls. And from there, it grows and creates a harvest. And in doing so, it establishes what we know as your kingdom, not just in the world, but inside of our hearts. And so we want to be open to that again, O God. And we pray that whatever things that need to take place inside of us, we want that to take place. And we pray this now in your name. Amen. Often I get asked the question, the way it's asked of me is this way. Preacher, I'm interested in growing in my faith. I want to do things different in my life. What do I need to do? And there are a host of things that somebody can do. One answer would be maybe serve or, participate in ministry, give yourself to something, whether inside the walls of this church or outside. I mean, that's always helpful where you put your faith in the practice outside the walls of the church. Another might be study. I mean, obviously studying of Scripture and in a larger study of the things that are tied to the church, those can be helpful. But if I could recommend one, it would be this: to learn to cultivate a spiritual awareness that can only come through reflection. Now, that's difficult because reflection is not the quick and easy. But what's created is to where one knows what's going on around them and they know what to do and when to do it. The majority of the weekend, I spent it in Atlanta officiating a wedding, and Saturday morning I had some time, and so I thought maybe the best use of my time would be to fire up my computer, maybe do a little work. And normally to connect to Wi-Fi at a hotel, you turn your computer on, you punch in a code, and voila, there it is. But for whatever reason, that didn't work, and I went through a number of different steps, and over the span of about 15 minutes, just to sign on, I could tell my impatient self was about to have to call the front desk and tell them how I'm such a wonderful guest, and if they could help me, then that would be better for them and be better for me. But then there was another thought that said, what if we could live with this constant connection, this greater sense of awareness, maybe spiritually, the same thing the same way that Wi-Fi works, where that we just live our life in tune, not just in tune to the things of what God is doing, but in tune to maybe what we're doing, what really are the influences in our life, and what really drives our boat. Because it's been my experience, when the connection is not there, that's when there's the greater tendency for us to do or say the things that we most regret. And it's not just those things that we do or those things that we say. It's to not even have an awareness of where the influence comes from. Reflection creates the ability to accurately link an action with what really is the proper desire behind that, and then maybe to what's way up in our headwaters that's the real influence in our life. To say it differently, I know what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and the real influence that is affecting me. When we reflect, there's this awareness that is created, an awareness of things that are going on outside, but more importantly, the things that are going on inside my heart, inside my mind. And if we really do want to grow in our faith, it does take reflection, awareness, to see the things that are coming from far off. And even when we can't, those things that are spur of the moment that happen, and it's like the ground opens up and under our feet it's uncertain, With this ability to reflect, we're better able to stand, regardless of the situations. Take Peter, for instance. He's the one in our text. Now, this is months after the resurrection. It's even months after Pentecost, and Peter is in this small coastal city on the northwest port town of Joppa, right on the up in the top corner of Israel on the Mediterranean Sea, and he's just maybe about a day and a half walk from Caesarea, which was the larger city, and Peter is, it's at noontime, so for Peter, he was taught from a young age that at noontime, that was a formal time of prayer. So he's in this state where he's praying. At the same time, it's lunchtime, so he's hungry. And in the middle of all of that, he has this vision. He saw this sheet descend three different times. And I know you've heard the story. It descends, it opens up, and it's all these creepy crawlies that are there, all these things he was taught from a young boy he should not touch, much less eat. And he hears this voice that says, go and kill and eat. And his response is the same, not in a million years. There's no way in the world I'm going to do this. I've been taught from an early age that this is the way that I'm supposed to live. I'm not going to violate that. As soon as the vision is over, in chapter 10 of Acts, it mentioned that Peter then reflects on the vision. So he's cultivating this awareness. About that time, there are three gentlemen that were sent from Cornelius, and he senses from God that he's supposed to go with these guys and eventually followed them about a day and a half's journey to Caesarea, and he's going to Cornelius' house, by the way, is a Gentile. Jewish men did not associate with Gentiles. So this is all uncharted territory for Peter. But he went. He meets Cornelius. Cornelius tells him about a vision that he had a few days before. And then Peter told him about his vision. And they begin to talk about what he experienced with Jesus and then also with Pentecost, with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, everything that happened to Peter in Acts chapter 2 happened to Cornelius. And Peter's left pondering, what do I do? For Peter, it's like walking down the road and you're going one way and then over here off to the side, this door opens up and the thought is, do I go through the door? Because it's different. It's new. Well, Peter is able to connect the dots. And in doing so, it actually altered his life. So from this moment forward, he lived differently. Now what we don't get that I wish that we did was to get to the inside of Peter's mind. I mean, whenever I read this passage, I've always wondered, what was he thinking? How was he processing? Because Peter lived out of this worldview, this faith worldview that he believed and acted upon, that God could act, that God has acted in the Old Testament, that God has acted specifically in Jesus Christ, and then the continuation of that is with the Holy Spirit. And so Peter lived with this idea that there is a possibility that God can do new things. It's not beyond the range of possibility. But it's not that it happens all the time. And so do I go through the door? Do I not go through the door? God can break into his time and space, has done so in the past, but noticing that God was breaking in at that very moment, well, that took reflection. Can't get there without this awareness. Being able to connect the dots of what's going on in your life, being able to connect the dots of what's going on in the life of another person. So how do we do that? I mean, it's one thing to read about it in Acts, and it's about Peter's life, but what does that look like for me? Or what does that look like for you? Well, there might be times that Maybe God is nudging us to do something, to walk through a door. Maybe it's in some level of service or maybe some level of ministry. And there are times where the Holy Spirit will nudge. And maybe people have contacted you about where you could use your skill set in a way that would benefit the community, benefit the church, benefit the kingdom. And you're trying to discern. Well, being able to connect the dots in your own life, connect the dots of what God is doing, yeah, that's valuable. But this process of learning to reflect for an awareness. Now, there has been times where I've, at least in my life, and I'm sure in your life, where it's on that positive side, maybe greater ministry. The real value is where those things, where that process is applied to those parts of our life that have often been a point of regret. Maybe struggle. So I want to tell you what reflection looks like if that's a struggle for you. This is how it works in my life. Take an event. Maybe, and it works well on those events where you've just blown it. Maybe you've done something that you've regretted, or you've said something that you've regretted. First thing to do in this process of reflection, to create this awareness, is to actually just go back and to think about just what happened. Maybe you were going about your day and you were thinking about something and then this person said that, which then led for you to respond this way, and then that person did this and then you responded that way. All you do in step one is just put down what happened. You're not trying to justify your answers. You're not trying to justify their answers. You are, in this first step, an investigative reporter. You're just writing down what happened. No commentary. Just A to Z. Once you do that, then you move to step two, which is where you're going to leave something that is general, just what happened, which often involves another person. Now you're going to focus in a little bit more on simply what you did or what you said, because that's the only thing that you can control. You cannot control another person. It doesn't matter how much you want to. It doesn't matter the desires of your heart to want to mold. And even if it's something that's good, a person will always be at arm's length from you. And the only thing we can control is what we do or what we say. But you got to start at the whole picture of just what happened. And then the next step is what did I say? How did I respond? You're not looking for commentary. You're just isolating what you did or what you said. And you need step one and two to get to where we really want to be, which is step three. Why did I do what I did or say what I said? But you can't get to the reason behind it until you've pulled back parts of it, that you've pulled back from the surface. You've plowed up the ground of just looking at it as a whole and then looking at it just specifically what I did, because what you want to do is get at the real reason why you said what you said or did what you did. That's the struggle. Because that's really what's driving the bus in all of us. And I can't fully get at that without looking at one and two. Most of us, on step three, we're looking for the door. Because it's anxious. Again, that's the real reason why we do what we do. And it's really, I'm not dismissing those events that I do that I regret, or the words that I say that are hurtful. But to some degree, that's just the tip of the iceberg. The real struggle is, why did I do it in the first place? What's the influence? And if that is never dealt with, good luck at trying to change your habits or your words. Because those patterns are often so reinforced, they happen in a blink of an eye. And so in order to change them, you have to go back and look at the real issue. Why do I want to respond this way? Why do I want to say what I said? So in my experience in my own life and just in years of ministry, those real reasons is things like fear, greed, maybe jealousy, anger, bitterness. And if we don't get our hands with the help of God on those things, then they're always going to be our influence. It's going to be the words we hear. So we need step one, A to Z, just what happened. Step two, what did I do? Step three, why did I really do it? And again, now the temptation here is to not want to address it, because normally it is associated with an experience that is incredibly painful. And out of that experience, it's how we see ourselves and see the world. So it's difficult. But when we find ourselves here, we need two things. You really do need the help of the Holy Spirit. And you got to give yourself time. Again, some of our patterns have been reinforced so long. It takes a while to unwind those. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Because what we want to do whenever we're faced with that, whatever that influence is, we just want to reinforce what we've always done. And so in order to stop, we actually have to do the opposite. I mean, can you actually admit what those real influences are? I'm not talking about admit to another person, I'm just to yourself. That I do what I do because the real reason behind it is because I'm bitter. I'm angry. Or I'm jealous. Or maybe it's just old-fashioned greed. Or I'm prideful. I mean, that's difficult to admit. And so when we want to just run from it and reinforce with time and the help of the Holy Spirit, can we at least sit with it for a second? Because in order for Peter to walk through this new door to go with Cornelius, which led to a whole different way of life, on the negative side for us, to walk through that door might take time. But equally so, there could be a totally different way of living on the other side. Can't get there without the help of God. We all need this discipline. It's not to take away from how you serve. It's not to take away from when you study or when you read or when you fellowship and connect. Those are all important. But if we really want to grow in our faith, the way that I know that you want to grow in your faith, at some point, we have to learn to reflect so that there's this awareness that can be created. Not just to see what we do and say, but to see the reason why we do what we do. We need this discipline to be able to connect the dots in our own life so then we can walk through this door that God has for us, a door that could be a totally different way of living. You know, we're going through this series about how to pray, and there are wonderful ways to pray, a prayer of praise, someone a prayer of confession from last week. Don't dismiss this one. This one works. Oh God, there's all of us, just like Peter. And there are times in our life where what we sense from you is to walk through a door that leads to a greater level of service or ministry. And we're not dismissing this. But if I had to guess, oh God, that for so many of us, we need this with your help so that what happens is change from the inside out. And sometimes we have lived and acted for so long, we've lost sight of the real reason why we do it. And so, Lord, what we pray is that you would help us to reflect, to be aware, and then to give us the courage to maybe admit to ourselves or admit to you to know what really does influence us. And then with the work of your Spirit, through your grace, to begin that process of transformation one degree at a time, so that what's created is the nature of Christ inside of us. Lord, we pray this for all of us here in the sanctuary, those at home watching. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Our hymn of consecration, you'll find it's hymn number 463, Lord, Speak to Me. I invite you to stand as you're able. We're going to sing the first, the third, and the fifth of 463. I invite you to stand as you're able, first, third, and fifth. Be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his face and his countenance and give you rest and peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You are dismissed.